matters. It is much of the reason behind a crucifix or a stained glass.
Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
Quagesima, big fancy Latin word that means we're about 50 days before our celebration of Easter. It's almost like we can kick back and relax at this 10:30 service. At the 8 o'clock service, we had a baptism. We had an affirmation of baptism. We had 8th grade questioning. And we squeezed all of that into about an hour and a half. And we still were able to get everything done. So thanks be to God for the way He gives His gifts on this day when we focus on God's gift of faith alone. Faith alone. We heard in our prelude, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. We'll hear that in our gospel reading for today. The outline for our 10:30 service begins on page 5 in our bulletin. Page 5 in our bulletin, our opening hymn, number 744, Amazing Grace. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, setting 3, page 184 and following. The only thing that we won't be doing during this pre-Lent time is we will not be singing our Alleluia verse. We'll sing that again on Easter Sunday. I think everything else is there before us. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of each new day. We thank You for the way that You give freely of Your gifts. The gift of Jesus, the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation through His life, death, and resurrection. The gift of faith, which is able to cling to Jesus in any and every situation. Heavenly Father, bless us this day with eyes that see Jesus as Savior and Lord. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 744.
Save us now, and save the rest of us.
Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings of death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Oh,
with you.
And with my spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Quinquagesima is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual.
You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing the crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought in. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God, God, by light, very God, begotten is not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third
Continue now with our hymn of the day, 849, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, 849.
Jesus. There is a lot of language about sight in our gospel reading today. It begins with our Lord saying to the disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." The word "see" is usually translated "behold," and it means more than just look. It means to look deeply, to understand what is going on. Jesus wants his disciples to note the significance of what he says. And this is the third time that he's told his disciples about his crucifixion. The first time, Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And the second time didn't go much better. Immediately, the disciples began to argue about who was the greatest. They were not understanding what Jesus was saying. So the third and final time, Jesus uses plain and simple words. "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the Gentiles. He will be mocked, shamefully treated, and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And the third day, he will rise." Now, you don't need to be a Bible scholar or to do a word search to figure out what being flogged or killed means. The meaning is obvious. But we are told that the disciples understood none of these things. And this saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was being said. Notice we've got triple redundancy there to sum up the third time that Jesus tells them this. The disciples had ears, but they couldn't hear Jesus' words. They had eyes, but they were blind to the truth. How could this be? Well, if you're a parent, you're not surprised by this sort of thing. When you tell your 12-year-old son, go clean your room, he's very likely to say, I don't understand. And it's not because you used complicated words. The disciples could not see because they didn't want to see. They didn't want Jesus' words to be true. They didn't want to follow a leader who suffered and died. They didn't want to be part of a failed movement. Jesus was supposed to be a king. So where was his throne? Where were his soldiers? He was supposed to be the Son of Man. And this is the messianic title that carries all the authority and power given to him by God. So where was it? Where was his glory? The Messiah was supposed to destroy the enemies of God. And yet Jesus went around saying, love your enemies. And so thousands of his followers had already abandoned him. And the disciples stuck around simply, as Peter said, because we have nowhere else to go. But they were frustrated with him. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die, and nothing that anyone said could change his mind. And so here in our text, Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to the cross. His disbelieving disciples are following him in fear and sorrow. And there's a huge crowd going in front and behind of him. But none of them understand who Jesus is and what he is about to accomplish. Not one person. All of them are blind except for the blind beggar. Hearing the crowd going by, he inquired what this meant, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. Now, we might think of Jesus of Nazareth as a title, but this is just another way of saying Jesus the man. It would be like us saying today, Jesus from Crete or Jesus from Hickman is going by. Nothing special. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, even the people of Nazareth didn't think so. They said to Jesus, aren't you the son of the carpenter? And then they tried to throw him off a cliff. Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And the blind beggar cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Consider that for a moment. He doesn't call Jesus of Nazareth. He calls him son, not of Joseph, but son of David. A blind man doesn't have the benefit of his eyes. He can only go by what he hears. But somehow, in spite of what the crowd confessed Jesus to be, in spite of what the beggar heard, somehow he had the faith to see Jesus for who he truly was. Jesus, the promised Messiah. Jesus, the King of glory, was passing through on his way to be crowned in Jerusalem. The Lamb of God was passing by, and only the blind beggar could see him. Isn't that amazing? But this is exactly how God works. He hides himself in plain sight, and only the blind, only those who have eyes of faith can see him. One time the Pharisees asked Jesus, are you saying that we are blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, then your sin would be removed. But because you say, oh, we see, your sin remains. The Pharisees looked at Jesus, and all they saw was a man. The crowd looked at Jesus, and they saw Jesus from the little town of Nazareth. And even his own disciples did not understand. Only the blind beggar could see Jesus because he saw with eyes of faith. And so the great miracle in the text had already taken place when the man cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." God had already given him the gift of faith. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For as the author of Hebrews tells us, whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So the beggar first confessed who God is, Jesus, Son of David, and then in faith that God would give him good things, he cried, "Lord, have mercy on me." This is the confession and cry of a Christian. This is who we are, blind beggars. These were Luther's last words. We are all beggars. And the scriptures tell us that we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Wait a second. Are you calling me a blind beggar? Well, I hope so, because this is what it means to be a Christian. As beggars, we live by the mercy of Jesus. We wait at his table, expecting that even the crumbs are enough to give us life. And with this faith, we recognize that Jesus is not simply the man from Nazareth. He is the Son of God. He is the promised Messiah. This is the faith that sees and discerns the body and blood of our Lord, where others see only bread and wine. This faith clings to God's word as beggars, knowing that it is the only source of good. This is the faith that cries out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But those who were in the front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. You see, in the eyes of the world, the only thing worse than a beggar is a beggar who confesses Christ. The crowd tried to get him to shut up, but the more they told him, the louder he cried, saying all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the interesting thing about the ones trying to silence him is that we are told these are the ones leading the procession. These are the ones who appear to be walking with Jesus, and yet they are offended by the beggar's confession. And so often, this is how it is within the church today. We have Christians who say, "Stop saying that. Stop talking about Christ and his cross. I didn't come to church to hear about my sin. I came to get my self-esteem built up. What's wrong with you Lutherans? Why are you always talking about sin? Why do you always talk about baptism and the Lord's Supper?" So they were offended by his confession. How could this man be God in the flesh? How could his journey to certain death in Jerusalem be the fulfillment of God's eternal plan of salvation? And how could God be revealed in power through this weakness and foolishness? You see, all who make this confession, all who claim the cross as their own, will endure the scorn and hatred of this world. Now, earlier in Luke, we are told that Jesus set his face like flint toward Jerusalem and would not be turned aside. The Via Dolorosa, the way of grief, it didn't begin on the morning of the crucifixion when Roman soldiers put a cross on Jesus' back. The way of grief began 3 years earlier at the Jordan River, when the sin of the world, when your sin was laid upon him. And from that moment, Jesus was steadfastly headed towards his cross. And he could not be turned aside, not by the tempting of Satan, not by the rebuking of Peter or the pleading of his disciples. He was on his way to suffer and die for you. And nothing could stop him. Until this moment, when Jesus heard the cry of the beggar, "Have mercy on me," we are told for the first and only time in the Gospels, Jesus stopped. And he waited. And when the beggar had been brought to him, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus said, "See." And immediately his sight was restored. But Jesus wasn't done. No, he was just getting started. Because the beggar had asked at first for mercy, not just his sight. And that's exactly what Jesus was going to give him. And when God gives out his mercy, he doesn't dole it out in teaspoonfuls. The mercy of God is a life-giving flood that crashes over us, drowning the old Adam, washing away even the stain of sin, and giving us life. So Jesus said to him, "Your faith has saved you." The beggar asked for sight, and Jesus gave him eternal life. Because this is how God is. He is abundant beyond anything that we could think or ask. We are told that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And then, immediately after this, Jesus was once again on his way to the cross. He stopped just long enough to say to the beggar, to say to you, "The sin that I carry is yours. And the cross that I go to is for you." And what do we, the beggar, do in response to this? What else is there to do but to follow Jesus with joy to his cross? Because there we find life and salvation. We come gladly to his altar because there forgiveness is placed into our mouths. And yes, we will suffer. We will endure the hatred of this world. And we will suffer as we live in this sinful and broken world. But we have Jesus' promise that even after we close our eyes in death, we will once again have our eyes opened. And as beggars, we will feast with our Lord at his table in the marriage feast of the Lamb that is without end. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding guard and keep you in this faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for the offertory.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. pad at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Jesus for blind beggars like us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Remember the family of Marvin Henning, former member of Good Shepherd, who the Lord took to himself last night, and also for the family of Artis Damas, the sister of Willis Legban, who was taken to her heavenly home recently. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Remember, Lord, your promise to be a rock of refuge for your baptized children. Be gracious to us. Create in us humble and contrite hearts, that we might always cry out to you for mercy. Fill us with your love. Grant us renewal by your Holy Spirit, that we may always abide in Jesus Christ, our Savior, beholding his glory in his holy word and sacraments, being made well by the same and following him with joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Remember, Lord, all your baptized children, especially Eliana, May, Meyer, baptized into your name this day, and Peter, Vernon, Caldall, whose baptism we celebrated this day. Grant that they, along with all the baptized, would be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, until you reveal the treasure bestowed upon them at the font. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, the widows and the orphans, the lonely and downtrodden, the poor and destitute, and our brothers and sisters in Christ who are shut in and unable to attend divine service with us. Be a mighty fortress for them, surrounding them with your compassion and care. Fill us with loving and generous hearts, to be your instruments of mercy on their behalf, and send your pastors to bring Christ to them wherever they are. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, those who are sick, hospitalized, in treatment, undergoing surgery or recovering, and all who are in need, especially Pam, Jerry, Celeste, Chip, Maureen, Ed, Jan, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Dwayne, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Susie, Anna, Larry, Warren, Leonard, Kay, Bridgette and Sophie, Diane, Beth, Faye, Mark, Betty, Robert, the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge, and Paris. Comfort them with your presence, sustain their faith through your gracious promises, and bring healing to them as you will and know to be best. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember, Lord, those who come to the holy altar this day to receive the medicine of immortality and the feast of your body and blood. Fill all who partake of your Son with his life and love, that they may depart in his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, remember, Lord, your promise to fill the wedding banquet of your Son and his bride, the church, with guests clad in the white robes. For those who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, we give you thanks and praise. Bring us with them to the day of our Lord's glorious return, that we may all receive the eternal inheritance you have prepared for us. Give your peace to all who mourn, especially the family of Marvin Henning and the family of Artis Domus, whom you took to yourself in these past days. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy.
As our Lord has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hymn 819, you may be seated.
Oh, 630. Oh, sorry, wrong one. 632.
Thank you.
quick announcements before we dismiss. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. There's all kinds of stuff in there. If you don't hang on, you'll lose it all. What should I donate? Well, that is in reference to the school auction gala that is coming up on Friday, March 10th. There's somebody sitting back at the table if you'd like more information or to buy some tickets. It'll be a good time. Also, you have a little colored sheet in there with Dr. Allman and his family. Our congregation, and specifically the LWML, are going to be having an extra focus on the Allman family during the season of Lent, and are going to try to raise some money for them. The second of our midweek meals will be sponsored by the ladies, and so you'll hear a lot about for the Allman family in the days and weeks ahead. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We'll start our new Wednesday schedule. We'll have church at 12:15 and also at 6:30. It'll be the same service. This Wednesday, if you'd like to participate in the imposition of ashes, come a few minutes early. We have a fellowship meal for the next six Wednesdays, sponsored by different groups in the congregation. That'll be serving from 5 until 6:15. Then after church, choir and Bible study and all the regular things happening there. So that'll be our Wednesday schedule at the 8 o'clock service. We had our third of our four confirmation questionings, and they did a great job. Keep our junior confirmads in your thoughts and in your prayers. Their fourth questioning will be on the Wednesday in Holy Week. And then Confirmation Day, making a little change this year, will be on Easter Saturday. Easter Saturday is a part of the Easter Vigil. So keep our young people in our prayers that they would have their eyes open, the eyes of faith, and that they would continue in that faith throughout all the days of their life. Okay, Ash Wednesday, Almonds, Gala, Confirmation, Vacation Bible School. There's a note, a very important note about Vacation Bible School in our news and notes. We currently do not have a director for Vacation Bible School.
We did have volunteers.
Somebody came forward?
Well,
what I said at the 8 o'clock service was, if somebody doesn't step forward, we're not going to have Vacation Bible School this year. So I guess the law worked, huh? Yeah, I don't know, something like that. So, thanks be to God, we will have Vacation Bible School. We'll make Vicar do all the pastoral work, and that'll be a good experience for you, Vicar. Good job today, by the way. I think that's all. Oh, got one?
Young Adults Gathering, May 2nd, Thursday evening. I don't have a timer, but I think around 6:30, 7 o'clock. He has May down, but I believe it's supposed to be March.
Okay, I was going to say it's a little early for
March,
the May 2nd. Announcement. So
March 2nd. It'll be at the Kirk House, 1640 Marlene Drive.
Is it May or March?
March.
It is March. Okay, thank you. And the Lenten devotions that start on Wednesday are out. Appropriately, they have a purple cover on them, so help yourself to those. Have a great day and week. Join us for our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb in Christ, who has opened our eyes.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Mirande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.